You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightline with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us by calling or texting. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we are entering into the Nightlight Movie Club. This evening's selection is the Martin Scorsese 1990 classic, Goodfellas. You can let us know your thoughts on the movie. Give us your favorite quotes. Please keep them FCC compliant because we're not going to read them on the air if you're swearing. Also, we're going to get the nightcap closing out everything at the end of the show. So we're going to have ourselves a really, really good time. You can always get in touch with us anytime you'd like. And you can do all of that. Call, text, leave a voice message. You can listen live. You can get your news by downloading the Civic Media app. Download it wherever you get your apps and you'll be in touch. Take it all over the world, into space. I don't know that for sure. I just want to believe that someday we can get someone on their phone or device to listen to Civic Media in space. That's my hope. That's my dream. Hey.
I love it.
Let me call some peeps.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Didn't realize that Dom was that connected. Okay. Well, good to know. Dom's good to know. So we got a great second hour for you, great first hour. If you missed any of it at any point, you can always go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can download episodes of this program. They are back catalog. They are collated. They are, what's the other word people like to, curated. People love to use that word nowadays.
Love it.
Curated for your pleasure and your delight. You can listen to it anywhere you want in the world. And you can also download us as a podcast wherever you get your podcast. So enough with that stuff. Now let's talk about the important things, and that is to restate the question of the night.
Yeah.
The question of the night is, if you were a gangster, what would your nickname be? You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, leave a comment on the live stream or get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. You can also, hey, you know what else they can do, guys? They can email us. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Really?
I know, right? Have you heard of email? This is an, okay, so it stands for electronic mail. And what you do is you simply just type in like an address, not like your home address. That would be weird, but like an address, like nightlight at civicmedia.us. N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. And then you can send us a message, like guests we could cover, topics we could cover, your thoughts on maybe a movie club's movie selection.
Yeah. I mean,
it's right there for you by emailing us, nightlight@civicmedia.us. But let's get to the question of the night. What would your nickname be? Pete, let's start with you. We already heard from our guest, Chris Knopp. He would be the paddler.
I love that.
Paddler.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. So what about you, Pete? What would your nickname be?
I approached this a couple different ways.
Oh, boy.
You know, I thought of just a straight up Tom and Amy's boy. Oh, that's Pete Schwabba. He's Tom and Amy's boy. Stay away from him. It didn't really strike fear into people when I did a test run.
It's also a lot of words.
Well, true. Okay, so I settled on Pete the Forgiver because... I'd like to think I would try to change mob culture.
This is why
just
you would not
be, you know, turn the other cheek, kind of more of a Jesus type message.
This is why they don't allow you in the mob, Pete, because they're like, would you do anything? Well, I won't do anything. I'm not going to hurt someone or even hurt their feelings. We'll talk about it. I'll get the money through positive reinforcement. I love what you do better next time.
That's what I would say. I would hold a gun to their head and I would say, I forgive you, but I'm still going to kill you. No, I would give them another chance.
Well, and that's how I always felt, too, when I watched those movies and, like, the loan shark or the gay, whatever, and they're like, I can get you the money tomorrow. And they're like, no, it's like you can't wait 24 hours?
Yeah.
Like, literally? Like, and if they can't, then we'll institute a payment plan with an interest rate. It's probably going to be lower than a payday loan, but that's America.
You're just so mean and aggressive. I don't think society has any place for that.
That's not going to end well. Not going to end well.
My buddy Matt. On,
you certainly
on
can't work
media,
in the White House.
No. He said, you are ruthless, Pete. I don't know if he didn't get that or if he was just playing along. Don't you hate that when you post something and people say, I think you're missing the point. It's like, no, I was trying to be
funny. Dude, trust me. Like we've had this job for a while when you're trying to say something, or especially when you're trying to be funny. Like, what you don't understand is actually, guys, this is why I ruin Thanksgiving every year.
Well, that came out of nowhere.
Can I? Well, no. It
personal information coming across there.
Well, we're on the radio, and when people are, you know, people have their thoughts, and it's like, fine, you can have your thoughts, but sometimes you're just trying to either make a joke or make a point, and then they're like, no, and you're like, leave me alone. Really quick diversion. Really quick. Yeah. I'll come right back to it, and we'll get to Dom's nickname next. The term ruthless. Is there ruthful?
It derived from the biblical Ruth. After her divorce, it was a trial separation, actually. He was ruthless. And that stuck somehow. I don't know how, Greg, but it stuck. And when they got back together, he was ruthful. Somehow they dropped an elbow.
And then what people don't know is, like, a few years later, they got together again. They were like, you know what? We have more in common, and we really still love each other. And he was like, guess what, guys? Ruthful.
I'm ruthful. I'm no longer ruthless. It softens you.
Exactly. And then he's like, you know what? You can't pay me today. That's fine. Pay me tomorrow.
Yes.
And if you can't pay me tomorrow, we'll work out a payment plan. There'll be an interest rate, but it'll be less than a payday loan. So that's a callback. Dom, what would your nickname be?
My nickname, I've actually been told this, which is why I just kind of came up with,
Caesar?
not Caesar. Nothing having to do with Jimmy John's. It's the Italian stallion. Dominic the Italian Stallion Lee.
Who told you that?
My parents.
Who told you?
The guys in the shower.
Oh, come on.
Who told you that? My parents.
His parents.
My parents. They're Italians. We're Italians. I mean, it's all, you know.
Wow.
And they were like,
yeah, but.
You're the Italian stallion, Dominic.
See, because Sylvester Stallone already is, that's his nickname, the Italian Stallion.
I like it better on Dom, to be honest.
Hey,
how about Jimmy Caesar?
Ooh, that's real. I'm going to write that down.
And JC's.
Yeah. Jimmy, okay. Hey, look at that. Hey, look at that guy coming down the street. He's real Jimmy Caesar right there. He just thinks he's all the thing.
What about Dominic Bolonovich Lee? That could be pretty cool. Bolonovich.
Dominic
Bolonovich. That's a, you know, kind of play on words.
Where did you get that word from?
It was a Jimmy John's ad, and the guy's name was Tony Bolonovich. Yeah.
If we do not get sponsored by that company soon.
Oh, we got to.
We are missing out on, I mean, seriously.
I don't know if they like being compared to, you know.
Jimmy Bolonovich sounds like a guy that we beat up in like middle school. Like, yeah, Baloney, Bolonovich, hey, my first name is J-I-M-M-Y. I like Jimmy Caesar, personally. So that's what I'm going to start calling him.
I'm okay with that stuff.
No, I'm good with that. That's good.
If he's fine getting the Italian stallion from his parents, he's fine with Jimmy Caesar, okay? I will not lie. I did not do a whole lot of heavy lifting on mine. I went to the name generator from the Mob Museum because I wanted to see what, excuse me, I posted that in the chat this afternoon.
I did. Don't read the chat.
I know you don't. Ever.
No, I didn't know they had that. That's a great thing, though. I'm saying before I saw that.
Well, we're doing this, you can go in there and find out your name if you'd like. So my name, after you get to fill in like 6 or 7 questions, mine is Greg the Muscle Bach. I am the boss.
Ooh, wow.
And my racket is, you name it, I've probably done it. And my idol is Lucky Luciano.
Ooh.
It says,
you're
a dangerous man with a business to run. You know who will follow you until the end and know who to cut loose when they no longer serve a purpose for you. You're tough and respected in the business. My God. Quit reading my dream journal. Oh, my God.
I like that. And they even give you a guy like the guy who mentored you or in a perfect world would have mentored you.
Yeah, who your idol is. And Lucky Luciano, real person, very important in mafia lore. So
he's literally one of the OGs.
He is the architect of the American mafia back in the 20s. So that he was a big schmeal. Dom, We got some text going on?
We do, absolutely.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, we have Chris in Madison listening on WMDX. Says, my thug name would be the Hunchback Hijacker on account of I got a gnarly hunchback and I specialize in vehicle theft. You see? Okay.
Okay, we were asking for fun things, not admitting to your crimes. So
that was a confession.
Yeah. Oh, really? Also, by the way, really quick, John Murray and Madison on WMDX, salad eating criticism is ridiculous. No, it's not. It's just friendly banter. Thank you. All right.
Oh, Craig and John squaring off. I love it.
We got Monica from Mount Horbit said my mob name would be Il Manicomio, which means the asylum in Italian. Wow.
Really? Are you Italian? Are you Italian there, Don?
I might have butchered that, but I don't know.
Come on,
it looks like Il Manicomio. Il Manicomio.
Il Manicomio.
I can't help it. I can't help not doing the building.
Let's see. What else
I want a turkey tom.
Give me a number four. Buongiorno. Buongiorno, Dimitri.
Okay. All right. What else we got?
We have Karen from Racine said, my husband was hauled on stage during a bit in Theater Schmieder at 6th Street Theater in Racine. Nice. They called him Killer, and it was a gangster bit. Ooh. So, wow. That's
nice.
That's a cool mob name.
Pete the Killer was taken in Goodfellas. That was already taken. I went, it was either Killer or The Forgiver, and I just went with The Forgiver.
By the way, Theater Schmieder is an amazing, amazing show that goes on every single year at the 6th Street Theater in Racine. So thank you so much, Karen, for getting in touch with us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We got Nick from Marshall says, my gangster name would be Scar because of the several scars on my body. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Jeez. There you go. I saw one from David in Richland Center. I think.
Let me see here.
And WRC says he sleeps and sleeps with the fishes. Okay.
Okay. All right.
David's very sleep based. His nickname are very sleep based.
Okay. Very sleep based. We also have Chris from Sun Prairie. He says the mob would probably call me Collector Chris. And there we go.
Collector nice. Chris. Really okay.
Good. I like that. Yeah. Maybe you and Pete would work together. You know, like you're the collector. He's the guy going like, hey, can you guys get us the money, please? If not, talk to Chris. He'll take care of you.
If you can't, no worries. Just do your best. Right.
You're like
exactly.
You're like Chris Traeger from Parks and Rec. And he's like the Ben Wyatt character. Like you come in all nice and Chris comes in as the enforcer. Like you better have my money.
That works. We big a great team. Going to our Facebook page, fellows, we've got Mike Desitel who says Jake's thug number three is referring to the Godfather of Green Bay, where he played Tony Goldwyn's third thug. And then he had another Jake thug chime in who was an extra in the movie, Sean Boyce, who said he was number five. Okay. Tim on Facebook says Snaker. I like that. I've never heard that before.
That sounds like a plumbing job.
Or, yeah, I don't know. It works, though. I think Pat Francis says patty cakes.
I love patty
cakes.
That
would instill fear in anybody.
But that's exactly who you
make that your mob name. That means you got problems and you're a guy to be scared of.
Exactly. Patty cakes, it's like with Bugsy Siegel. You didn't call him Bugsy or he would lose his mind. Same with Al Capone. You don't call him Scarface. Don't call him patty cakes unless you know him or else Patty will cake your face.
Whoa.
I'm scared. Yeah.
A couple more quick ones here. Tony Diamond, my pal, says Tony two times. Right out of Goodfellas. Love it. And Matt Cassane says fat and sassy.
Love it.
Is it a hairstyle or is he a gangster? I love it.
Yes.
Great stuff. And
is that all for now?
We got a few more, but we can get to them in the nightcap if we need to hit a break.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a small, very quick break. And when we return, we'll be entering into the Nightlight Movie Club, talking about the 1990, I would say classic / masterpiece, Goodfellas, directed by Mr. Martin Scorsese. Here on Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach, you can always get in touch. Let us know your thoughts on the movie or give us your nickname if you were in the mob. You can do that right now. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Stay tuned. Stay close. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, before our show begins, please silence your cell phone. The show is about to begin.
A sort of club.
You two are the boys that run the movie club.
Movie club.
Movie club.
I love these movies. Don't you love these movies?
Movies, movies, more movies.
This is the Nightlight Movie Club.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You are officially in the Nightlight Movie Club, where every Thursday in the second hour we talk about one classic film in tonight's selection. Oh, it's a good one. The 1990, I would say, pillar of mobster movies. Like, it's up there in the top like three or five if you're counting it. Goodfellas, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, Paul Sorvino, and a lot of guys who ended up being in The Sopranos as well. But that is the movie we're discussing. If you have a thought on it, please give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also get in touch with us via the Civic Media app, where you can call, text, leave a voice message as well. Or, you know, hey, I almost want to say go old school, but you can email us your thoughts too. Nightlight@civicmedia.us. N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. But Goodfellas is the film for the evening. And I don't know about you guys, but I've seen this movie like a bunch of times, but I did rewatch it today for this discussion, and I still super duper enjoyed it.
Same. This is one of those movies, Greg, where I remember where I was when I saw it. A lot of movies, I can't remember where I saw it, but I was a stand-up in 1991, and I was working in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, about less than an hour from Philly, and I came out of the movie theater, and I was checking over my shoulder like someone's going to take me out, and I had to tell myself, you're not in the mob. Relax. It was just a movie. Like, it was that real.
Yeah,
just a great movie. It looked great. It sounded great. The music was incredible. Forget about the actors. It got a 93% from critics on Rotten Tomatoes and a 97% audience score. And to be honest with you, when I read that, I think, what is wrong with the 3% audience people who didn't like it and the 7%? Truly, I should go to, you know, Rotten Tomatoes and find out why these critics, what they said about it, because it was great.
You know what, Pete? Don't do that to yourself, because in your heart, you give it 100%, right?
Yeah, I would give it. I mean, honestly, I know you're kind of joking, but I'm saying like,
no, what? I'm being serious. I'm being dead serious. Who cares what critics say?
No, I know. It doesn't matter. Here's one. Scott Hetrick.
We probably didn't need yet another mob movie, but if we did, this wasn't the fresh angle.
Okay. Revoke that, guys. That's from the Kansas City Star. That's a major newspaper at some point.
First of all, that the movie came out in 1990. By 1990, there weren't that many like landmark gangster films out there. And also, what's a fresher angle? Like how like gangsters in space? Gangsters time traveling? Like, what do you want from us? I didn't make the movie. I don't know why I'm getting so upset now. I was the one who just said, who cares what critics think?
I was trying to look at the year it came out, and it doesn't show it. So
1990.
You're right. I mean the review, like, oh, sometimes gotcha. The reviews come in later, but
gotcha.
Like, yeah, you're right. There were the Godfathers. I think Miller's Crossing might've been after this, another great mob movie, but this was different because Goodfellas showed it, glorified it early on. Mm-hmm. And then it got very real. Yeah. They felt like they were on top of the world. And then all of a sudden everything, like he's, you know, Henry Hill says in the film, it all came tumbling down. So it was a very realistic, at least in what I would think as a mob movie, it looked at both sides.
There, you know, one thing I will say about this film is it's a great film. My only wish is that this was based on a fictitious story, because at the beginning of the beginning of the movie says based on a true story. But what we didn't know, what you don't know until, like, you can go to YouTube and find, there's been a lot of research on this, but Goodfellas is pretty much almost a lie completely. Like, Henry Hill's stories were incompatible and not reliable. The way they crafted, you know, especially Paul Sorvino's character, Paul Cicero, or Paul, was it Paulie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Paul. Yeah.
Yep.
He was in the mob. He was not a nice guy. He was a demonic, horrible human being. Like, and the thing that I really, really super love, though, is that Joe Pesci, he's in his 80s now. That movie came out in the 35 years ago. He was like in his mid 40s playing a guy who was literally in his 20s.
Right. And like, so was De Niro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just always thought that was really funny when they like, granted, I'll take that over what they did in The Irishman,
with the de-aging instead of just saying, let's get someone else to play these characters. But it's still funny to watch me like Jimmy, what was his last name? Jimmy Conway was 20 years old. Like, he looks terrible for 28.
he's in the mob. He's living hard.
Dom, what did you think?
I thought the costume designing was amazing. That's what I really got out of it, was slicked back hair. I mean, it was like the most Italian you can ever Italian. And I thought, I really liked that part. And I did watch the Sopranos, and I honestly, I know it's a show and a movie, but I think I like Goodfellas more. I didn't finish Sopranos, but I thought it was really good. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Greg, except that I like that they did that because I would not have wanted to see other actors, even though it was a stretch.
Yeah.
I thought De Niro pulled off late 20s okay, but you're right. Pesci always has looked the same age to me. That was a bit of a stretch, but you know what? If that's the biggest criticism of the movie, other than our Kansas City star friend here, I'll take it. It worked.
My criticism, like, I don't really care that they played younger like that. To me, that was funny. That's just funny to watch. For me, it's the fact that this story is not the, like there's one thing about like poetic license and their changes. Like, this was changed so deeply that it's not really a true story. The true story, it's much darker and much more sinister than people actually know. But we'll talk more about the trivia of the movie. We'll talk more about our thoughts. We got some text messages coming through on the text line. Love to hear from you about this. We are in the movie club officially talking about Goodfellas. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. We got the news coming up right now. But after that, we'll come back and talk more about this great, great film here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to be part of the conversation, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. We are currently in the movie club discussing the 1990 Martin Scorsese classic, Goodfellas, here on the program. Again, if you have any thoughts on the movie, your favorite lines, keep them clean, or you know, whatever it may be on
or
the film.
Bleep them.
Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have a thought, an idea on maybe another movie we should watch, email us, nightlight@civicmedia.us. N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. We can get a guest idea, subject idea, or a Nightlight Movie Club suggestion. But do all that. Be part of the discussion tonight. We'd love to have you here. Now, folks, we were talking earlier about just our basic thoughts on the movie, but like going deeper into the shooting of it all and the actual craft of the film, it's also not just a great movie to watch, but it's beautiful. Like, it's technically really good.
It's fantastic. It, like Adam mentioned, the bar scenes are cool. Everything was lit beautifully, and it really is one of those movies that is all encompassing. Every component worked: acting, script, dialogue, shooting, costume and wardrobe. We did get a funny, I shared our text about movie night on Facebook, and our pal Stuart J. Waddles, who you should know, there in Southeast Wisconsin, Greg, said he did his best Johnny two times, and he says, I'll be listening to the show.
So nice.
That was nice. I know Stuart's listening. Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you so
much. Can I just get in one more? This Kansas City critic is driving me crazy. Here's what he says. Ray Liotta is very convincing as a kind of self-made blue-collar mafioso struggling to better his position in the underworld. But after we see his stupidity in getting hooked on drugs and his insensitivity in cheating on his wife, we never can really get behind the guy's corner. And then he equates Bracco. He says, Bracco delivers a fine performance, but Michelle Pfeiffer already showed us the travails of a mafia wife and married to the mob. He's comparing what is based on a true story to a romantic comedy.
Do you know what's really funny about that, though, is that if he had said Michelle Pfeiffer showed us all of that in the movie Scarface, where she did the exact same thing, then I'd be like, I understand that. But you picked Married to the Mob?
What a stupid Matthew Modine and Alec Baldwin. He cheats on his wife, and I don't like that. It's based on a true story. And to your point, Greg, earlier, this was interesting. Supposedly, Henry Hill, the real life Henry Hill, said they got Tommy DeSimone, Pesci's character, 90 to 99% accurate. Like, he was that psycho.
Well, he was that psycho, but he was like, yeah. Like the thing is that those percentages that he didn't get, he was even worse. He was a lot younger. He was also like 6'2", 220 pounds. Like, he looked nothing like Joe Pesci. He was like, again, like that's my only gripe with the movie is that it isn't, in my opinion, it isn't really based on a true story. It's inspired by true events. And there's a difference by that because Nicholas Pileggi, who wrote the book and then helped write the movie, the interviews with Henry Hill were not truthful. So that's like where I'm just like, you know, I watched a lot of videos on YouTube where they broke down FBI files and reports and whatnot. Henry Hill was a terrible guy. And also, if you've ever seen a mob movie, name me a mob movie where it's like, oh, you know what I loved about that guy? He was real faithful to his wife. He's a real good guy. Didn't do the drugs. He didn't have a lady on the side. He was just a good dude. He was just, you know, that's what you come to expect in a mob movie.
It's and I understand nothing in as told to or adaptation is always going to be 100%, but a lot of these things really happened, and that's all you need. And you can say it's based on true events, the Lufthansa heist, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But speaking of the Lufthansa heist, I have to give a shout out to Mike Starr, who's been a guest on Nightlight. He is always so great in those movies, and he played the security guard that let them walk in and steal $420,000, which was...
Frenchie. I love that name. And then it doesn't end well for Frenchie.
Great.
Not one bit. There was one scene in that movie that's very well documented. In fact, when I wasn't in film school, good Lord, no thank you. I was in film class, but we talked about that one shot at the Copa from the car to the table. That's just like, I mean, what, that's like so 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the talent of everybody involved. And because I know that shot is technically difficult. I know that there's a lot of planning that goes into a one shot. For folks who don't know what that means, a one shot essentially means a long take, one long take going over, like, you know, many areas, a lot of dialogue, but it's just one, like the opening to, Tim Robbins movie about L.A., The Player.
The Player,
there's a long one take. We actually watched that, too, in film class. But they make it look so easy because you're like, well, they're just walking. They're just walking, and the camera's just falling. Because, of course, this is easy. But you're like, no, it's not. This is incredibly difficult. But the other shot, not as long, that I really enjoy is when Henry brings Karen home after the neighbor was being a creep. And that one shot from when he looks at him through the car, comes out, walks across the street. The guy says something really dumb. He hits him with the gun a bunch of times, and then he walks back. That one long shot is just amazing to watch because that's the first time in the movie, and we're 40 minutes in, that you see how dangerous Henry Hill is. Before that, he's just like, I'm stealing cigarettes and I got busted and I'm a bad guy. Blah. But that is where you see the viciousness of Henry Hill right there in the film.
It's so great. And part of it is the music, but this is one of those films when I see the first scene, I'm like, I know I'm going to love this movie. Mm-hmm. I already trust this director and this writer. A couple things I want to point out. De Niro, a little repetitive when he says two very important lessons. Always keep your mouth shut and never rat on your friends. A little redundant, but
exactly. I dare you to say that to his face.
Well, speaking of De Niro and his greatness as an actor, I love something I read when I was reading our guest yesterday, Michael Nirenberg's book about behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said, whoever he talked to and documented for that book said that they were all doing great. They shot a few days before De Niro got there. And then when De Niro got on the set, everyone was like, whoa. Like, that's just kind of the aura he had as an actor. And you think these are really good actors in their own right and kind of intimidating guys too. But when De Niro showed up, it went to another level. Last thing, Greg, the F word was said and its derivatives 321 times, an average of one per minute, I think it was. And it used to be the highest rated or the most used, the film with the most F-bombs. It is now 15th. As of 1920, it's 15th. And Wolf of Wall Street, also a Martin Scorsese vehicle, is number 3. So there you go.
I think Scarface for the longest time was number 1 because that movie excels at the F-bombs. Like, it's just, it's like nothing. It's like sprinkling cheese on your pizza. You're like, it's nothing. Yeah. Like, of course we're going to say that. Dom, we have some text messages from people about their thoughts on the movie, if you want to get to those really quick.
Yeah, absolutely. We have John Murray said, I once witnessed a grown man on coke in the same kind of manic paranoid flight pattern that Ray Liotta portrayed. He was a magic man in the zone during that long scene.
Wow.
Oh, man. And then he said, that's exactly what it looks like. Very scary to witness.
Wow. I mean, honestly, like, I've never done that drug. I swear to God, I know, I look like I invented cocaine, but I didn't. I've never done it. But that scene, especially from, you know, they're doing it. But that moment when the blues kicks in, he's at what's her face's house, and he like the camera like cuts in really close. He takes that long sniff.
Yeah.
From that moment on, it feels like you are on that high with him because you feel gross and paranoid and scared. I watched that movie 36 times, and I still to this day I'm like, what's oh god, like, is the helicopter still there?
Totally.
Yeah. I feel like they really frame that experience well.
Absolutely.
The sweating and yeah
we've got also Chris from Sun Prairie says Goodfellas soundtrack is definitely one of my top 5 favorite soundtracks. After I saw it, I probably listen to that soundtrack every day for a full summer. Nice.
Wow.
Done, Chris. Nice. And then John from Madison also says, if I was going for a Pesci-style super reactive, violent rage, loose cannon, psycho mafia guy, I think I would go with Johnny Scoots.
Nice.
Really good. Really good.
That's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, these are great.
Dom, can I ask you a question really quick?
Go ahead.
Can you imagine if you said no?
Please, Dom.
As we've learned from both your experience at Jimmy John's and your parents giving you a nickname, the Italian Stallion, you are Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as an Italian person, how do these movies frame for you? Is it like, are you a person who's like, oh, this feels like such a, just a stereotype? Or like, as an Italian person, like, hey, I'm watching, this is part of kind of my history. Like, as an Italian individual, like, does it matter to you? Do you care? Or do you, sometimes people take offense to these movies?
There's a few similarities and differences. I mean, I honestly don't really take offense to it, but I will say I don't really love how they portray Italians. There's just a lot of things that are not that. I mean, we talk like, hey, come on, what are you doing over here? You know, stuff like that. I don't know if that was really Italian. I'm not totally.
No, that wasn't Italian at all.
See, there you go. It's kind of hard for me to say. But like, you know, my great grandparents, they were, you know, Panazzos, and they, you know, they had a lot of like, big meals, and they would always have a lot of wine and stuff like that. So in terms of like maybe the food and the style of that and going to like the wineries and all that stuff, I would say it's similar. But I in terms of actually like liking what they do, especially during, you know, the Goodfellas movie, I'm not a big fan of it. In my personal opinion.
Interesting.
All right, cool.
We got a couple more texts here, you guys. John again says, Johnny Two Times would never tell Dom to avoid broccoli and green beans because they make you really fat and put you at risk for diabetes. And salad is a death wish, blah, 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 just for some playful banter. Sorry, had to comment twice. Then John from Columbia County says, you think I'm funny?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I also like that Melissa on Willie Streets apologized for John.
She's done that before.
Before we get out of here, I want to play a couple clips here. This first one I wanted to play was, you know, I don't know, we're not gonna have time to play all of them, but this one here takes place the scene where Henry has left the house because he and Karen have gotten to a massive fight, and this is when Paulie and Jimmy Conway show up, and I want to play this one really quick. Nope, not that one. The next one.
Let me see.
Yeah, Karen came to the house.
Thank you.
I only wanted to bring that for one reason. The reason why I brought that last line, I know how to talk to her, especially her. Here's a fun fact in real life. When he was in jail, Henry Hill, Paul Cicero had an affair with his wife.
Is that true?
Wow. That's very true.
They cut
very
that out
true.
Of the movie.
Oh, they cut lots of stuff out of the movie. But we'll talk a little bit more because there's another clip that I know that Pete wanted to bring up. On the other side, we'll be getting into the nightcap. We'll be routing out the show, getting to the last of the text messages, finding out what we've learned. But don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. Thank you so much for joining us in the Movie Club here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Tonight's question is, if you were a gangster, what would your nickname be? We just got done talking about the 1990 classic Goodfellas here in the Nightlight Movie Club. Stick around. Stay tuned for our announcement of our next movie. That will be coming up probably tomorrow or Monday. You can always be part of that conversation. And speaking of tomorrow, we'll be doing some casual Friday. Guys, Friday's already here. Wow, this week went fast. We'll be talking to Mike Siegel, comedian, TV host, and actor. He will be with us tomorrow on the show in the second hour, or in the first hour. So
first hour, yeah.
Yeah, so tune in, be a part of it. And before we get on to other business, Dom, what about any other leftover text messages that we need to get to before we sign off for the evening?
Yeah, we have Melissa listening in on WMDX says, sorry, stupid autofill mafia name would be the money-making mama. All right.
There it is.
There we go. Mama.
Yeah. Oh, get the cash, baby.
Chris, too. I can't. I'm ashamed I didn't think of this. Chris said, Pete, your mob name should be Sneaky Pete.
Really good.
Never even entered my mind.
Yeah.
We also have Mark from the SAC said, Innocent Blood, a female vampire starts to go Italian after seeing some horrible crime mob members have committed. She never drank innocent blood. A little winky face.
Oh, interesting. We got one last one from John in Columbia County. I love this one. Go ahead, read that one.
My grandfather spent 4 years in Leavenworth for moonshining during probation. Had stills.
Prohibition.
Prohibition.
Oh, yeah.
During probation. Had stills in Illinois and southern Wisconsin. My family lived that life. Wow.
Oh, that is awesome.
Wow.
My grandfather ran bootleg liquor back in the 20s as well when he was younger and in the early 30s before it was. Yeah. Great. Leavenworth, that's nothing to shake a stick at.
No,
before we
get
out of here, there was one clip that Pete really wanted us to play from Goodfellas that he wanted to discuss. We got a couple more minutes. Dom, do you want to play that very special clip for us?
It's the Joe Pesci clip.
What? What is this?
Okay, so I couldn't find a clip of Joe Pesci during Goodfellas where he didn't swear. So I had Dom pull that from Home Alone. It was actually Dom's suggestion. <so. laughs> We have a couple more texts here too. I love this one from our pal, Tom Clark. Greg, he says Gassy T.
I've met Tom Clark. Yeah, that's apt.
And then Dave says Iron Balls McDavid.
All right. Wow. Jeez.
Justin Leon says Justin Leon. I love that.
Oh, my gosh.
Play it straight up.
Justin's a very funny comedian. Very, very funny. Good friend.
That's awesome. Great text, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us. Pete, what did you learn tonight?
Boy, I learned that I love that there are people out there. Listen, Greg, I'm a movie guy first, but boy, that interview with Chris Knopp. Yeah. I love that there are people out there protecting our waters. Once clean water is no longer clean, based on the chemicals, it's gone. It's not like, and jobs are important. I get it, but come on. Especially that, one of the most beautiful areas of this country. So I wish Chris luck. I was glad he was here, and he was very informative.
I don't disagree with you. Dom, what have you learned this evening?
I realize I can't speak any Italian at all. I realize that's just not for me, and I give up on it, and I move
not
on.
Not even the accenta?
No, not even
Oh, wow.
See, there we go.
Even Italians are like, dude, why are you hating on your own people so much right now? Can you just give me I'm a Mario.
It's a me, a Mario, Baba da Boopy. There we go.
Right? Bada bing.
Bippity-boopity.
Hey, welcome to Jimmy John's. You want a bottle of a boop beer or some sausage and pepper?
I remember a friend of mine once, he goes, you know, as an Italian guy, we're like the last group you can actually make fun of and no one cares. I'm like, yep, no one actually cares at all when we make fun of you. Sorry. I'm a Mario.
Somebody had to be that last bastion of teasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm fine with that until someone tells me not to, and then I won't do it anymore because I'm just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Also, Dom, you know there's methods and avenues for you to learn how to speak Italian, right? Like, you just, like, it's not because, like, you don't know it now. That means it's...
That's true, but I'd rather learn Mandarin at that point. You know what I mean? If I want to learn something completely new, I got to learn, you know, a different
language. You want to learn Italian? Hang out at a Jimmy John's. If you want to learn Mandarin, you got to hang out at Arby's. That's just the way it works in this country, I guess.
Put that on, stitch that into a pillow. You want to learn Italian? Go to Jimmy John's. You want to learn Mandarin? Go to Arby's.
Go to Arby's, baby, and get the brisket sandwich.
Oh, my God. That's so, so funny. Actually, Mandarin, Farsi, and Spanish, those are your best ones. Those will get you jobs.
Ooh, I will go. Dude, those will get you jobs. I never took Spanish.
Oh, dude, I took, ridiculous. I have an embarrassing amount of Spanish education under my belt with almost nothing to show for it. I can read it okay. I can understand it if it's at a certain speed. But after that, I mean, I'm talking, guys, I'm talking 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Whoa.
I have nearly 12 years of Spanish classes.
Oh my gosh. And you, but reading it is good too.
The only
Spanish I know is ¿Dónde está Casa de Pepe? And I learned that from Steve Martin.
But that's the thing too, is like what they didn't tell us when we were young is like, go on trips, go to places where they're speaking. They're just, you know, yeah. I'm learning the version of it that's like, ¿dónde está la biblioteca? Like that, no one says that. Like, yeah. So, all right, cool. Well, that's good stuff. That was a good show.
We're all bilingual, it sounds like. Well,
Greg, what did you learn?
I've listened.
What did you learn?
Yeah, what did you learn?
I learned that if we want to protect our waters, we want to make sure we elect people who will protect our waters. And this is an election year, and we need to find the people who are going to protect our environment, protect, you know, I get that, Pete, jobs are important, sure. But there are other ways of creating jobs, and it doesn't mean we have to strip mine our natural resources, and politicians who want to get ahead and get money in their coffers shouldn't paint it as, that's bad for business. No, it's bad for Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Canada. It's bad for the people.
Maybe hire all those park rangers back. There you go. There's your jobs.
Perfect. All right, folks, on behalf of Pete and myself, I want to thank Dominic and Tucker and Engineering and Traffic for all the work they do, making sure these microphones actually turn on when we walk in the studio. For everybody, oh my goodness, called, texted, got on the live stream. Everyone who left a comment and was part of the conversation, thank you so much. Without you, there's no us. Again, tomorrow we're talking to Mike Siegel on the show, actor, TV host, comedian. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. Stay tuned. Pete, say goodnight to the people.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.